There we go. We felt the buzz, so we're working. Good. Good to see you all this morning. Let's do this quickly, right? My name's Stephen. All the boys and girls, just after three, right? Whisper your name. Are you ready? One, two, three. Right. I've got them all now. That's great. Not a chance, right? Even if you were to tell me all your names now, you see, within 20 seconds, I wouldn't remember them. But it's really good. I want to thank the Reverend Smith for the opportunity to be with you today. I used to work with the Reverend Smith, or he worked with us in CEF, and he was over in Donegal. I'm sure you've heard this before, and we were in Coleraine. We used to meet up now and again, and he was a real encouragement, and Pamela, they were a real encouragement to us as a family, just commencing ministry as wee young things. It was good to have someone much older, and that was really, really helpful to us. But it's great to be with you this morning. He's been telling me lots about you on the phone, and so it's good to actually see you in person. Thank you so much for all you did this morning. We're really looking forward to that. Our children were really disappointed they couldn't be here this morning. They're in their own church getting ready for their Children's Day in a few weeks, but they'll be here tonight, and so they're looking forward to being here later on. But I'm going to start off today by playing a game, right? I can see the excitement on your face. It's not that exciting, okay? Here it is. Let's see if we've got a picture. Has anybody ever seen this game before? I was looking up there. There's no screen up there. Has anybody ever seen this game before? Story Cubes. Let's see. I'll set that there. Look. Anybody ever seen this before? It's not Xbox or PlayStation, all right? Don't be too excited now, but here we go. Story Cubes. Right, let's see. We could really embarrass somebody with this morning, couldn't we? The idea is that you shake. We play this sometimes after tea. Wouldn't you love to be in our house? We shake these cubes, right? And you set them down, and there are lots of pictures on them. Look, there's one with an elephant. And you set them all out in a row, whatever shape you want, and then you get a chance to tell a story, right? Now, I want to get somebody to do this morning, if we have time. Right? We're staying for lunch, so we've lots of time. Right? So, here we go. I'll maybe not get lunch if I don't get a move on. Okay. We'll just take a few. We'll not do them all. We'll not do all nine this morning. If you want a really difficult story, you can use nine. But if you want to make it simpler for someone younger, you can use the ordinary ones. So, I want to give you a wee help, actually. I've put my teacher hat on here for a wee second. When you come to tell the story, whoever you are, right? If it's one of the boys or girls, or if you want to pick on someone, you feel free to do that this morning. You really want a good intro, don't you? Right, how do we start a story normally? Yeah. We start with the introduction. What sort of phrase do we use sometimes? Yeah. Brilliant. You're starting to think about stories. Good. Once upon a time, it's a great start. And then there's always a nice build-up and it starts to get really exciting and, oh, this is a great story, right? But then just as it's getting great, a really good story, there's always a problem. There's always something happens. Oh, no, everything's going to go wrong. And then the problem is solved. Or the big word I've used up there is resolution. It's just everything's solved and then we come to a conclusion and it's over, right? Does anybody think they could do this morning? Does anybody, do you want to try it? Right, come on ahead up. Right? Some of your family are dying off. Right? Now, what we'll do is we'll forget about those. I'm going to put it up on the screen so that everybody can see. Right? Can you see all of those from here? Good. Right. So, I want a good introduction, once upon a time, and then build up a good story, and then a problem, and then it all sort of gets fixed, and then we all end up happily ever after. Do you want to try that? Right, what's your name? Amy, you did tell me that there a minute ago. Right, off we go, Amy. Brilliant. Right, hold on till I tell everybody. They'll not maybe be able to hear you. Once upon a time, there was a boy who had a what? A camera. Okay, yes. Start at the left and work your way right across to the right. Okay, keep going. He went on a ship. Good. Is that the sea there? Is that what you're thinking? Yes, he went on the ship on the sea. Good. Keep going. He found an ugly parrot. That's good. Keep going. I like your descriptive words. Well done. Good. Keep going. He had a magic telescope. Good. The telescope could see far away, and it all ended happily ever after. Is that right? Good girl. Thank you very much. Now, do you think the Reverend Smith would be good at this? Well, we'll let him off this morning, will we? Well, right, lunch is coming. Here we go. Do you know what? I actually was 33,000 feet in the air when I found this. I was in an aeroplane, and I'd been looking for this for ages, this game. And I'd seen it advertised, and I didn't know where you could get it. And I was in an aeroplane going over to watch that great football team there in Manchester, the red one. And I was watching, and I was looking in the little book, and I saw this. And I was sitting thinking, do you know what? When we come to God's Word, the Bible, there are lots of different bits to the story. There are lots of different stories happening. But if we look at the big story of the Bible, it's a little bit like that. It's got a great introduction. It's got exciting stories of adventure and love stories and all kinds of things for all of us to read. But it's got a problem in there, and the problem's solved, and then there's a great ending to the Bible story. And I want us this morning, just for a moment or two, to think very quickly, not of one individual story, but just of that big idea of the one story of how God sent Jesus into the world to save us. And all of us know that the Bible begins, once upon a time, God. Isn't that how it starts? The Bible tells us back in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, finish it, God created the world, or God created the heavens and the earth. We sometimes sing a song that He's the great creator. He made everything. And that's what it tells us at the very start. And God created people, Adam and Eve, and there they are in my little cartoon picture this morning. God is the king. You see the crown? They are the people, and they live in a beautiful garden. Does anybody remember the name of the garden? Yes. Eden, the Garden of Eden. That's right. God had a beautiful place. Here were His people, and they were happy while they were living for God. In fact, the Bible tells us that everything was very, very good. But of course, boys and girls, we know that in any story, there's a problem. And the Bible reminds us that our world is not very good like it was then. Sure, it's not. It's not at all, because we're told that God's enemy, Satan, came into the garden. And in the garden, he tempted Adam and Eve to sin against God. He did. And Adam and Eve listened to God. And in doing that, I've got three things this morning just to show you here to help you understand that. Adam and Eve actually listened to Satan, and they said to him, shove off. They said to God, shove off. Even though God had made them, even though God was good to them, they said to him, look, tell you what, no, shove off. They didn't actually say those words, but that's what they meant. And then they said, do you know what? Eve said, you know, I'm in charge here. Maybe it'd be all right. God said that we shouldn't do that. But you know what? I think we will. I think we'll be fine. And everything's about me. Eve says, I. And the last one they say is, not your rules. I'm not going to, God said that, but maybe it's not going to be like that. I think we'll be okay. We'll not listen. And what do I spell this morning when I hold those three letters up? What do I spell? Yep. S-I-N. What's the problem, boys and girls, that's come into the world? This man at the very end. Correct. Sin has come into the world, and it's where people like Adam and Eve, and guess what? Not just Adam and Eve, but Stephen Chambers, and all of you as well this morning. We say, shove off to God. I'm in charge, not your rules. And that's really what sin is. Sin is me wanting to be the king, when actually the greatest king, the best king we can have is God. And so a problem has happened, because Adam and Eve are then put out of the garden. God can't be where sin is. Adam and Eve are put out of the garden, and sin is there. People have said, you know what? No, we won't have God to rule over us. And That's the reason today, boys and girls, all these years later, that our world is the way it is. When everybody tries to be king, it doesn't work. You maybe see that in the playground. Someone tries to be in charge, and then someone else tries to be in charge, and someone else, and then next thing there's a big fight. That's what happens. That's what's going on in our world today. Sin, everybody wants to be in charge when God is actually the only good ruler. And so there's the problem. At the very start, the Bible gives us the problem. Great introduction, isn't it? God made everything good. It's amazing. It's great to be with God while he's king. But here's a huge problem. But do you know what? The Bible actually goes on to tell us that God could have just, you know, turned his back and said, right, that's it. These people, why did I ever do it? But do you know what, boys and girls? The great news of the Bible, and it is a great story, the whole big story of the Bible. The great news is this. The great news is this. That God made a huge promise. Yes, to Adam and Eve in the garden, he promised that one day he would send a savior from their family. But one day he comes to a man called Abraham. And on the left of the screen, you can see him there with a big white beard. Can you see him? I'm not quite sure if that's what he looked like, but that's an artist's impression of him. And God made Abraham promises. I'm going to read one to you this morning. He said to Abraham, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And here's the bit I want you to get this morning. And in you, all families of the earth will be blessed. Here's God's promise. Do you know what? He promised to send a savior to rescue the problem, to fix the problem. And he comes to Abraham years later, and he says, Abraham, someone from your family is going to be the one that I'm going to send. And he says, I'm going to give you a land. I'm going to give you people. You can see it there, the trees for the land. I'm going to promise you people, a big, huge, big family. And through your family, smiley face there, emoji with a smiley face, he says, I am going to bless. That means I'm going to put my favor, my love, my care on them. And so that's the promise that God made. Isn't God great this morning? God could have said, look, you've rebelled against me. You've told me to shove off. You've told me you want to be in charge. Well, on you go. But God is great this morning. God is amazing. He said to Abraham, and he promised to him that through him all the families of the earth will be blessed. And this morning, the reason that we can be forgiven, the reason we can know this great news of Jesus is because God keeps his promises. God kept that promise all those years ago, and it began to unfold. Right through the Bible, this story begins to unfold bit by bit. Now, very quickly, we'll go through this last bit of the Old Testament, because one of Abraham's family was a man called David. And during his day, you can see David is a king there with a little crown. But David, the Bible tells us, is a man after God's own heart. And David loves God. He's not a perfect man. You know the stories of David. But he loves God, and they live in a land. The enemies are conquered, and there's a time of blessing and peace, and God's in charge of the country. But not long after David, his son Solomon comes, and Solomon's not a happy-looking camper, right? I'm going to tell you why. Are you listening? Everything looks great. It looks as if God's promise is going to come true, and they've a great nation and great people, and God's in charge. But would he hear this? This is bad on two fronts. Solomon had 1,000 wives. That's a bad start there. Now, my wife's not here this morning, so I can say what I want. And you don't tell her anything later on, but one's enough, isn't it? It is. Or girls, one husband would be enough, right? Solomon had 1,000. What? Right? But here's the big problem. When Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David. So, God's promise to send, to have a great nation, a great people, a great king to rule over them, to solve this problem. It looked like it could be David, but he let God down. It looked like it could be Solomon, but no. Solomon's heart is not holy after God. His head's turned, right? His head's turned by 1,000 women and their gods. And he worships other gods. And we can see in the right of the picture, at the end of the Old Testament, it looks very sad. It looks as if God's promise has fallen to pieces. The land, the people are kicked out of the land. Their property, everything's ruined. God is king, but the people certainly aren't enjoying his blessing. You can see their faces there at the very right-hand side. What a terrible way the Old Testament finishes. But boys and girls, what a fantastic way the New Testament starts. Because the Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 4, when one of the apostles wrote about this, he said, when the fullness of the time had come, that just means when time was right, God sent his son, born of a woman, born unto the law, to redeem those who were under the law. God sent his son at exactly the right time. When things seemed at their worst, God sent his son. But he was only a little baby, Stephen. What could he do? Well, like you were singing there a while ago, it seems as if you'll never grow up, as if you're never getting bigger and you eat all your carrots and you do all those things. Well, Jesus was a child just like you. But he grew and he grew and he grew bigger in his body. But the Bible actually tells us he grew in favor with God and with people. He learned from God's word. And that's such an important thing for us to learn from this story of the Bible this morning. How Jesus valued the Bible and how he learned the Bible. We've just been singing, I have a precious book. It's the word of God. Make sure, boys and girls, you're in the Bible, you're reading, you're buying little books to help you to understand, because Jesus did that and Jesus grew up. And of course we know that he grew up, and in all his life he never thought or said or did anything wrong. He never told God to shove off, not even once. He never said I'm in charge, I don't care what you say, God, not your rules. No, he lived by God's will. And do you know what? Even to death on a cross. The Bible tells us that's why he came. He came at the exact right time to redeem. That means to buy back. And to do that, he had to die on a cross. And he took our punishment. He took our rebellion on the cross. And he rose again for us. And as you were singing again, he's alive. That's a great song. I've taken a little copy of some of the words there to see if I can find that. That's a great song. All of those beautiful words that you were singing, that Jesus is alive. And boys and girls, today the Bible tells us after Jesus died and went back to heaven, lots of people heard this good news about Jesus. And lots of people said, you know what? I don't want to try and rule my life. I want Jesus to be my king. I want God to be in charge of my life. Lots of people did that. And lots of people ever since have been trusting in Jesus. And of course, the good news is that for all those who trust in Jesus, the Bible tells us that one day perfectly, there will be a home for little children and for all, a home where there's no sickness, no sadness, no dying, none of those things that ruin our world, where God will be king and we will live with him forever. What a great story the Bible is. And as I finish this morning, I want you to think about this great story, this great rescue story of how God sent his son to rescue people so that they could be in his family now and then with him forever. You know, years ago when I was growing up down in County Down, my dad had some fishing boats and we went out in the fishing boat. There was one day I was out with him and the deck of the boat, that's the bit that you walk on, we were fishing for lobsters and crabs and things, and we were out a bit and I was walking along and whatever happened, the deck was wet and I slipped and went over the side. Now, no life jacket, just a pair of jeans, welly boots and me in the water, right? So, not good. Welly boots full of water, starting to sink. But they heard the splash, they turned the boat around, and they came, and my cousin reached down in, and he grabbed me by the scruff of the neck. I can remember it yet, I was never so glad. And he reached me and pulled me right up into the boat, and there I was, rescued. Now, it would have been very different if he had left me for a few hours, if they hadn't heard me. It would have been a very, very different story. I might not be here today to tell you this, but boys and girls, there's a greater rescue. This whole story of the Bible is that what God has done in sending his son to rescue us. God has put this story all together. It's a great introduction, but there's a huge problem. But God has sorted out the problem in sending his son. And boys and girls, this morning, my question is, what's your part in this story? Are you still someone who's saying, do you know what? Shove off, God. I'm in charge. I want to do it my way. I want to do what I want to do, not your rules. Are you someone who said, do you know what? I know when I try to do things myself and try to be the boss of everything, I ruin things. I want Jesus to be my king. Is that your response this morning? That's what the Bible invites us to do this morning, to have Jesus as our king. And I hope you'll remember, maybe you'll find that wee game. That one is called Voyages. There are lots of different colours and different types of things about farms and animals and all kinds of things, different types of story cubes. But I hope you'll remember this morning the little game, but more importantly, you'll remember the story of the Bible, that big story of what God has done for you and me through Jesus, and that you'll be a part of that and you'll live your life and be a part of that great story and tell others the amazing story of God's rescue plan. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you for this precious book, the Bible. May we read it. May we understand it more and more each day. The children, young people, adults gathered this morning, we thank you for the fact that there are lots of stories in here which engage us and are interesting to read. And yes, there are things that are difficult, but help us to see your great and grand plan for your people. Help us to put our faith and trust in Jesus, to keep holding on to him despite the difficulties we face in life. And help us to know that one day we'll be together with all of your people, with you as our King forever and forever. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us to make sure that we've trusted in Christ, that Jesus is the only way. Help us to trust him and to live for him now, knowing that that is our future. We thank you for boys and girls. We thank you for all of the work they've done today to help us to worship and to praise you. And we pray that as we go from here, that you'll continue to speak to us and help us to respond to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.